Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, just so glad to be here this morning, Heavenly Father, to be able to congregate together, Heavenly Father, and learn another portion of your word, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this congregation, bless the brother that brings, that has studied and is going to bring the word to us, Heavenly Father, that we may be able to take it and share it with others as we go out through our daily routine, Heavenly Father. We ask that you watch over those who are sick and ill, Heavenly Father, and those who were able to come and not. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning's scripture comes from the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verses 27. It was chosen as in reference to the sermon this morning, Absent in Heaven. And it reads, "But there shall be no means enter it in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." It's Revelations 21:27. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his word. Amen.
Let all joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And dust around the throne, and dust around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hills of Zion yield a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, I'll walk the golden street, I'll walk the golden street. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, a beautiful city of God.
Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Amen. You may be seated. Today is a day that we call attention to all those people and all those healthcare workers and all those families that have suffered as a result of breast cancer. I want to call your attention to it and just have a day where we can come and dress down and let people know that God is still on his throne. Amen? Amen. No matter what disease comes our way, God is still on his throne. And we have people that have been praying and people that have been that have received help and those that have recovered as well has done what we call ring the bell. And what a great and wonderful thing it is that God has blessed us in that way to be able to fight and to win those battles each and every day of our lives as we press on. Because disease and sickness and sin will always be with us. But so can those people who pray to God and fight for those things to end in their lives as well as their loved ones. So today we declare it's Pink Sunday. And we hope that you have all the information that you need to help your family as well as those loved ones that have suffered from this dread disease. I want to say good morning to you. Morning. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a guest or a virtual guest of us, we are grateful that you're here this morning. And Grateful that God has blessed us with another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us who would be the saints of God. Welcome. Welcome in. Now, shall I open my Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. And my invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will serve as a text for today's lesson, Absent in Heaven. Absent in Heaven. Now, we are here this morning because we're gathered, because we have a destination and a goal. And just like Abraham, we're searching for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And just like Moses, we're willing to endure whatever comes our way because we have respect for the recompense of reward. And just like Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, we also, after the similitude of our Savior, are willing to run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, we're also on a journey. It's a step-by-step, a day-by-day, month-by-month, year-by-year experience. And we experience those things as Christians, as those assembled to God, until finally we will have made our journey from earth to heaven. C.S. Lewis has once said that Christians who do the most for this present world are precisely those who think the most of the next world. And this morning, we want to talk about the next and let it make a difference in a practical way for us today, right now. I want to talk about heaven and how heaven can make a difference in our lives in a practical way right now, today. I want to go to these last two chapters in John's Revelation, and particularly in chapter 21, where John will teach us some things about heaven. You have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. We're going to read in your hearing, Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. You know, when I look at these words, I understand what's clear to me from these words is that the presence of good is accentuated by the absence of evil. The presence of good in these words is accentuated by the absence of evil. And John makes the point here that the presence of good is the reality of what things will not be there in heaven at all. He points that out to us. Because heaven is going to be so grand because whatever is bad will be absent. Be absent. In heaven, there'll be no more appetite for sin. Paul said, For the wages of sin is death, and sin is associated with death. But the gift of God is eternal life, which means there is no death in heaven. No more death. It's based on the fact that Christ was sacrificed once for all, one time for all time, to take away the sins of many. Sacrificed one time for all time, take away my sins and take away your sins. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Again, one of the things that's going to transpire in heaven is that maybe we will understand fully the cost and the consequences of disobeying God. Every time we see, as John said, every time we see the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, every time we lay our eyes upon the Lamb who had the marks of slaughter upon him and yet he lived, every time we see him, we will fully understand the cost of admission that Jesus paid for our presence in heaven. Every time we see the Lamb that was slain, we will understand why we are in heaven. It was Adam and Eve, just like us, who didn't deserve the blessings from God. We still don't deserve those blessings from God. But it was Adam and Eve who bought into the lie. They bought into the lie that somehow God was holding out on them, that there was something good, and that good God didn't want them to have. But we know better than that. We know from Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from those that he loves. In heaven, sin will be absent. They will not obey anything that even pertains to sin. There will not be any trace of sin at all in heaven, nor will there be any associated evil. Satan will also be absent. He will not be there to tempt us anymore. In a very real sense, Satan is going to have hell to pay for the crimes that he committed against God. The Bible says that in heaven, there will be a tree of life. Not the tree of knowledge of good and evil that the devil said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like God. Because in heaven, no evil, no sin, no temptation at all. In heaven, the issue of who God is forever settled already. He alone is God. He alone can and should be God. And absent will be the inclination to put ourselves in place where God only should be. There are too many of us as human beings who try to supplant God. We think that we are in control and that we can do whatever it is that we want to do in the name of religion. But all that will be absent. All the inclinations that we have of our self-pride and of who we think we are when it comes to God, all that is going to be absent in heaven. There'll be the absence of fear. There'll be the absence of conflict. There'll be the absence of evil in heaven, because evil has no foothold. Evil has no stronghold whatsoever in heaven. Revelation 21 and 1, the Bible says these words crystal clear and plain. It says, also there was no more sea. You see that? Also there was no more sea. I think we usually read past that. In heaven, there is no more sea. And why is that important? Why is that important to the audience that John addressed? Because to the Hebrews, the sea was a dangerous and threatening place. It was a fearful and frightening place. But John indicates to us in this text that there was now nothing more to fear, because in heaven, there is the absence of the sea. I don't know if you ever saw that. And I'm not trying to ruin anybody's idea of the songs that we sing in church, that we're going to be gathered around a crystal. Amen? John the Revelator says that there will be no more. Do you see that? Have you ever seen that? No more sea, no more danger, no more fear, no more strong winds blowing and taking us out of our comfort zones. To the Hebrew, the sea was a dangerous place. It was a place that you can go, maybe just even go fishing and come back dead. John the Revelator said, there will be no more sea in heaven. And we look at Revelation 21, verse number 27. The Bible says, but there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Listen to what he says. No liars. Liars are going to be absent from heaven, because all we have to deal with is the truth that comes from God. Isn't that incredible how we live our lives and every other word that comes out of our mouth? Not in heaven. Not in heaven. Nothing that causes a lie. There's much controversy also in this life of how we protect ourselves in this day and time. And we try to protect ourselves from those who seek to do us harm. And we should. But the Revelation says we won't have to worry about that in heaven, because nothing impure is allowed to enter its gates. So we won't need alarm systems. We won't need any policemen. Absent will be the need to carry your own gun. Some people pack in church. Well, I know you're packing. But the times may dictate that, amen? But in heaven, there will be no need to come packing. There will be no need to be suspicious of others or fearful of strangers. We will not be tempted anymore by a world that is antagonistic to God. We will no longer have personal weaknesses that cause us to declare with Paul in Romans 7:24, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" We will no longer have a need for those weaknesses, because in God, it'll only be strength. You don't need to protect ourselves, because God is always round about his people, Psalm 121. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" In heaven, absent is the expectation of death. It's just not there. I think it's almost impossible, though, for us to rationally contemplate that or even discuss that when it comes to death. How can you live in a world where there's nothing but death? And I mean, death is everywhere. How can you live in a world and even begin to talk rationally about the absence of death? Because that's all we've ever known. There was a man who came to Jesus one day. He bowed before him, and he was greatly distressed. And he was not distressed because he was impoverished in life. In fact, the Bible described him as a wealthy man. He was not distressed because he was being debilitated by the onset of old age. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was young. He was not distressed because he had no voice in life or because he was subjugated. In fact, the Bible says he was a ruler. Yes, he was the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus and he bowed down because he was greatly distressed, because he had come to realize that life is temporary. He was distressed because Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says that God had put eternity in his heart. He was distressed because he had come to realize the truth that in this life, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men to be pitied. He was distressed because he had learned to say with Job that the living know they will die. Let me tell you, the most recent poll reads that one out of every 1 persons will die. For the living know that they will die. And we understand that. And we understand the reality of that. And it may not be in the forefront of our minds even right now, but we understand that. And the evidence of that truth isn't just found when we leave a loved one in a cemetery and drive away with an empty heart. The evidence is seen everywhere in our world. It's seen every time disease threatens our lives. Any disease, all disease. It's seen every time suicide is contemplated. It's seen every time we leave home, not knowing even if we'll return. As someone says, you never know who'll be taking your shoes off. Anytime we see any of that, we're reminded of the reality that death is everywhere, but it's absent in heaven. Don't you want that? Death is all around us, but it's absent in heaven. And we are reminded as we look at that of the confluence of sin and death. None of those things which will be in heaven. You know, as we read the Bible, and we start, most of us, and some of us maybe in the book of Genesis, just 3 chapters in, and there was Eden. 3 chapters into the scriptures, we find ourselves in Eden, accompanied by sin and death. And it's a reminder to us today, all of these years later, that every home that is broken, and that every soul that is lost, in every war that is stained with a young soldier's blood, in every evil that is signed into law, all has its ties back to Eden, back to sin and death, but not in heaven. For sin and death will be absent in, amen, you with me? It's just not going to be there. It's going to be absent in heaven. Here's something else I need you to understand about heaven. In heaven, there will be no longer be a preoccupation with time. Maybe credit men with saying a whole lot of things, but you know, I think we said a lot of things ourselves. It's just not written. But Benjamin Franklin has been credited with saying, time is the stuff of which life is made of. And we understand that. We understand it to the point where it is woven into the fabric of our lives. For instance, we understand it so much, we waste time. We save time. We have a lot of time on our hands. We make up for lost time. We seem to be running out of time. And there are some of us sitting here right today who think that we have all the time in the world. What I want to tell you, we also know that when our time is up, amen, we exit this world. Our lives are dominated by time. We sing this song, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. Time shall be no more. What that means is that we'll never feel the pressure of time in heaven. We, all of us who are governed by the tick of the clock and the turning of a calendar, we feel the pressure of time, whether we want to admit it or not. I'm looking at their watches right now. You finished, Brother Kyle? It's a pressure that's felt by us day after day, week after week, and it's so much pressure, we call it Blue Monday, amen? It's so much pressure, we can't wait till Friday, but not in heaven, because time will be no more. It'll be absent in heaven. You know, growing up as a little child in the Baptist church, you used to say, every day going to be Sunday and Sabbath will be no more. But that can't be true, because Sunday and Sabbath are associated with time. And time will be no more. It'll be absent in heaven. And we will no longer be diminished by time. Nobody has to worry about passing their prime, and women won't have to worry about people knowing their age. No longer will you worry about turning 30 or 40 or even getting older. Because in heaven, your thinking and your skills and who you are will never be diminished by time, because time will be no more. I got to tell you something about time for me, and I don't know if that affects you or not as well, but time is and has been for me bittersweet. It reminds me that everything we enjoy and everything we love in this world comes to an end. The best vacation you ever had. The best night out that you've had with your friends. The best feeling you've ever had as a parent. All that pride, all that joy, all that happiness will one day come to an end. But not in heaven. Not in heaven. Why? Because there's no night there. There's no night there. And since night is governed by time, it'll be absent in heaven. Here's what I need you to understand that John the Revelator is saying in Revelation 21. He says, there will be no more separation from God. That's the point of Revelation 21 and 3. There will be no more separation from God. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Let me read that again to you. I need you to get this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. I need you to wrap that around your minds. Listen closely. I need you to embrace this thought, because it's what Moses begged for and was denied. What Moses begged for and was denied, we're going to experience without any impediment at all. We won't have to hide ourselves in the cleft of a rock so that God in some mysterious way can pass us by. John the Revelator says, We will see him face to face. Isn't that incredible? God will be there. We will be his people, and he will be our God. We are going to see God face. I need you to wrap your minds around that. Face to face. Revelation 21, 22. Listen to God. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We read that, and I think we just glance by it. There's no temple there because God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. In the Old Testament, the temple had a clearly defined series of divisions that determined how close you can get to God. At the farthest extent was the court of the Gentiles. Then a little bit closer was the court of the women. Then the court of the men. Then was the court of the priests. And beyond that was the Holy of Holies. And only one Hebrew could go in once every year. And when he went in, he had better had a rope tied around him. Because if you appear in the presence of God and you're not ready, you die. Amen. So they tie a rope around him because only he can go in. So if he died in the presence of God, they can just, amen, can pull him out. There are too many of us who get ourselves in situations where we come in the presence of God and we need ropes. Amen. Somebody needs to tie a rope around us sometimes on a Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about. Satan comes into your house and disrupts your house, and you come right on into the assembly. But you should be here, amen? But you should get yourself together before you come, amen? We come in and we need ropes tied around us because we're not in the presence of God as he had called us to be. You know what I'm talking about? We've all been there. We need to be let's do a rewind. Let's come before God with thanksgiving and praise. Let's come before God with singing and making melody in our hearts. But there are some of us this morning who have ropes tied around us and are going to sit and we're going to sup with the Lord and our hearts are not even. Amen. That's going to be absent in heaven. It's going to be absent. There was some clearly divine series of divisions determined on how close you can get to God. And everyone understood that all of that was designed to say, you can get this close to God and no closer. But in heaven, the periphery is going to be absent. No one is going to be on the outskirts standing and waiting on those at the pearly gates. Not going to be sitting there saying, I wish I could be present in one of those courts in heaven. They're not going to say, I wish I could be a little bit closer. I wish that I can actually see God. No temple, no separation. I want to tell you, because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the access that he provided, we are going to live in the presence of God in one of the most beautiful expressions of intimacy we'll ever know. We're going to live in the presence of God, and it's going to be an intimate moment in our lives. How long has it been since you've known intimacy? You don't have to raise your hand, but we should. We should be intimate with each other as well as with God. And this is going to be one of the most precious moments in our lives because we're going to be intimate with God because of what Jesus provided for us in his death. Revelation 21:4. Let's look at the intimacy. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Not an angel, not an elder, not an ambassador, not an apostle, but God himself. And he's going to wipe those tears from your eyes with the same hands that gathered the universe. He's going to wipe those tears from your eyes with the same hands that hung the stars in the sky. He's going to wipe those tears from your eyes with the same hands that formed the mountains and penned the Ten Commandments in stone. It's those hands, it's God's hands that's going to wipe every tear from our eyes, and not just the tears from the eyes of women and children, I mean, listen, it's one of the craziest things I ever heard that men ain't supposed to cry, but if God got to wipe my eyes, I want to cry. Amen. Amen. I want it. If I got to squeeze them out. Amen. I want him to wipe my tears. If one eye is dry and the other one is wet, wipe both of them. I'm going to find me a reason just for the privilege of having that intimate moment with God. Like Peter says, Lord, you don't need to be washing me. Then he realized that, Lord, wash me over. Lord, wipe my eyes. Wipe my whole head. If you just feel like you can't, wipe my eyes, Lord. I need that intimate moment with God, and we all need that. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Every tear. He's going to wipe away my tears of disappointment. God's going to wipe away my tears of grief. He's going to wipe away my tears of worry. He's going to wipe away my tears of sorrow. God's going to wipe away my tears of broken relationships and broken hearts. He's going to wipe away the tears that we shed over our children. Lord, have mercy. God's going to wipe away the tears of the fear of death that we experience every waking moment of our lives. God, John Revelator says, listen to me, I need you to get it. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. So if you've never cried or feel like you never want to cry, I want that. I want that intimate experience with God, don't you? So if you got to cry, go ahead on and just cry, because God made you that way. Men ain't supposed to cry. Well, I feel sorry you won't be getting your eyes wiped. That's all I got to say. And because God is there, because he's there, we're not going to have to worry about any of the chaos that plagues us in this world. We're not worried about a world that assaults and insults and maims and steals in the name of religion. We're not worried about any of that because all of that will be absent in heaven. I want to tell you that when Paul spoke about heaven, as death was hanging around him like a dark curtain, when he talked about death, let me tell you something. He had nothing to say about no streets of gold or pearly gates or none of that. Never talked about that. Do you know what Paul said in Philippians 1, 21 and 23? Listen to what he said. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far, man, incredible. It's far better, far better. Literally, that would be much far better. Spiritually, that would be very much far better. What he was trying to say is how much better heaven is going to be than this life that we live. Very much far better to be in a place where we no longer, even as wonderful as this assembly is, we no longer need on the Lord's day to assemble as God's people to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance. Why? Because we will be in his very presence. We'll be beholding his face in glory, mano y mano, me and God, you and God, us and God, assembled in heaven, face to face, beholding the glory of the majesty on high. Listen, I need you to not take it for granted. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. And it demands our presence. Because for the very first time, we are truly going to be home. Everybody wants to go home, don't they? For the very first time, we'll truly be home, absent from the body and what? You know the scripture? And present with the Lord. I got one more thing I want to tell you from the book of Revelation when it comes to things that are going to be absent in heaven. Revelation 22, 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And he says, amen. And all I could think about when I read that is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That was John's final thought. And when you look at it, that was the Holy Spirit's final thought as well, as the Bible's written from cover to cover. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because heaven is grace unlimited, you see. Heaven is grace unending, you see. Heaven is the gift that comes from God that only you and I can have because of the grace that he shed on each and every one of us. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, doesn't it? That's what they say. And the addendum to that is that with some people, the more they're absent, the more you're fonder of them. And not so in heaven. There are some things that just won't be a part of the heavenly experience. Listen to me. No more crying. There will be no more death. No more sorrow. There'll be no more disappointments. There'll be no more selfishness. No more lies. No more deceit. No more facetiousness. No more sarcasm. No more cutting your eyes at me and I'm cutting them back. Some things just won't be a part of the heavenly experience. There shall be no more pain. No more pain. So I encourage you this morning, don't be as those things John described, absent in heaven. My prayer is just like another song that we're going to meet by the sweet by and by, amen. That we're going to be meeting at that sweet by and by, meeting on that beautiful shore, and we will all be present and accountable. And we'll be present and accountable for all of eternity. Not just to say, I'm here. We're going to be present and accountable before God for all eternity. With him. With the Christ. With the Holy Spirit in heaven for all eternity. What about you? We plan to be absent for some things all the time. And we know it's going on, and we say in our minds, we know we can be there, but we just plan to be absent. You know, I don't even think I'm going to work tomorrow. We're job waiting for you. We're already planning that. You're going to be absent and don't have to be, amen? Unfortunately, we think like that, and we're going to drag that right into our attitude when it comes to heaven. Some people are not planning on being there. What a shame it is. That salvation that God offers us, our eternal salvation, John says, was brought about by the grace of God. It's brought about by the grace of God. And heaven demands that we be there as well. God sent out an invitation. He says, go invite everybody to the supper and let them come in. He expects you to be there and he expects you to want to be there. But there are some of us who are planning on being absent in. Some people say they've already got heaven on earth. What a shame. If this is all you got to look forward to, again, Paul said, we are the most to be pitied. Amen. There are a lot more things that's going to be absent in heaven, but what's going to be present is the fact that we are going to be with God. And we're going to be sitting around the throne of God, Revelator says, singing and praising God forever. You ready for that? You need to be ready for that, because if Jesus busts through that door right now, that's where we're going. Amen? Let's be ready. Let's not be absent-minded when it comes to our spiritual lives, and let's not be absent when it comes to going to heaven, because we're on a journey. All of us are gathered here for that one reason, that we might be found present in heaven with God at the end. He's coming back. come back with this host of angels, and he's going to meet us in the air. That's what John said. That's what Paul says to the Thessalonians. He's going to meet us in the air. Get yourself equipped right now, because that's where you're going. He's going to meet us in the air. Incredible, huh? And those that belong to Christ are going to be there first, and those that come after are going to be there as well. But heaven is a place that we all should strive to want to be. We should aspire to be with God in heaven. We want to be with him down here. We call on him down here. There won't be any need for that in heaven. The call will be absent because we will be in the presence of God and we will see him face to face. Job said in his distress, he says, I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he lives. And that he's coming back for me. He says, and in my flesh, I will see God. I'm going to see him. That should be our same sentiment, that we shall see God. Don't you want to see him? Don't you want to be there? Heaven. Heaven is a place. It's our journey. It's our goal. And God is coming back that he might deliver us up. The kingdom of God delivered up, 1 Corinthians 15, to the Father. But there are some who are not going because of unbelief. Jesus said in John 8:24, if you don't believe that I'm here, you're going to die in your sins. Some are not going because they were not here. John 6:45 is written in the prophets, and they should all be taught of God. Every man therefore that heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Some are not going because they were not here, nor will they believe. Some will not repent of their sins. Some people are just stubborn and they say, you know what, I'm too old, I'm just stuck in my ways. You're going to die old and stuck in your ways. You're going to be absent from heaven. God offers us his grace. He offers us his forgiveness. Let's repent of our sins. Let's confess Christ. You know, on a daily basis, we talk about everything and nothing. That's what we do. Why not talk about the Almighty God? And let other people know that God lives in you. It's no longer you that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. The people know that. Confess Christ. And let's be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, because that's the only way we can find ourselves getting in Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's the only way to get it. Heaven is waiting. We're heaven bound. Do you want to go? We invite you to come as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
Careless soul, why do you linger, wandering from the fold of God?
Whether you want today to accept the invitation that comes from God,
you not
will you come?
The invitation,
heaven awaits you. Come prepared to meet God.
To meet thy God. Careless soul.
Oh, careless soul.
Oh, heed thy warning. Oh. For your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what
communion scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 23 through chapter 30. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, eat it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Let us pray. Lord, we come here today to take this wonderful communion, the body and soul, which you have given us life to be with you. You do this because you loved us. You gave your son to us so that we can be with you. Lord, as we go through this week, walk with us, Lord. Walk in front of us, Lord, to guide us. Walk beside us, Lord, to be with us. Walk behind us, Lord, to lift us up when we need it. We all need this, Lord. You are the one that we strive to be in heaven with you. We do not want to be absent. We are here. We are here this morning. We are here virtually and here live in pink. Lord, be with us this week as we go through this. Thank you, God, for everything that you have done for us so far. Amen. Now we come to the part of our sermon for collections. We have a box here. You can put your collections here before church or after church. Our scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 through chapter 9. But this I say, who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as they propose in their heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having a sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Amen. Lord, let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the giving that you have given to us today. Lord, be with the ones that are taking care of this collection. Be with the ones that wanted to give but couldn't. Lord, we love you. We wouldn't do it without you. Amen.
Remember that? I see you as G. Oh, good for you to be here. Let us stand as we close. Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory. And he made a left on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Let us go to our God in prayer. Dear God Almighty, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that connects us with you. We thank you for your holy word that gives us hope. We thank you for your preacher, Lord, and for your preached word, dear Lord, that binds us together. We pray for wisdom and courage, dear Lord, that we be not caught up in the politics of this world, that we be not caught up in church politics, dear God, but that we be caught up in your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, with a desire to glorify you, to sing praises to you, to speak of your holy name, to share Christ with our friends and our neighbors. Help us, dear Lord, give us the courage to be the church that you've called us to be. Guide our steps, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.